Chapter 9. A Suggestion. I failed, Will. I lay on my bed and pulled my knees to my chest. In my hand was the letter that Will had left for me to read in Paris when I still had hope.
You are braver than you think, Clark.
I see it.
Don't be sad. Just live well.
The phone rang too loudly. It was 2 a.m.
Lily?
I said.
Lou?
It was Nathan's deep voice. Oh, sorry. I got the UK time wrong. Shall I call back? I pushed myself up.
No. It's good to hear from you. How are you?
Good. Are you still happy working in that pub of yours?
It's fine.
You don't want to do something else?
He asked slowly.
Well,
he laughed.
Then I've got a suggestion. There's a job here in New York with this family that I work for. Mrs. Gopnik is from Poland and she's a bit depressed. Mr. Gopnik wants someone to spend time with her. I told him about you and Will. It didn't worry him. Actually, he was pleased that we did what Will wanted.
My mind was spinning. I thought about the bar with its drunk customers and my silly uniform.
You won't even have to come to New York for the interview. Mr. Gopnik will speak to you on a video call. So, shall I suggest you to him?
I spoke before I could think.
Yes.
Great. Email me any questions. Right, the old man is calling me.
Nathan?
Thank you for thinking of me. There was a small pause. There's no one that I'd want to work with more. I lay thinking about it. In the morning, an email was waiting for me from Mr. Gopnik, suggesting a Skype interview that evening. As soon as his call came in, I could see that Leonard Gopnik was rich. He had beautifully cut greying hair, and he spoke confidently.
So, what was the hardest part of the job?
He asked. I'm sorry?
With Will Traynor. It sounds like a difficult job.
Letting him go, I said. And suddenly, I was trying not to cry. After the interview, I decided that I needed some air. I hadn't been up on the fire escape since the accident, and I knew that I had to make myself go back up there. So, I climbed out of the hall window onto the metal steps.
Nothing will happen, I said, loudly.
My legs were shaking and my head was spinning, but I told myself that it was just a feeling. I could beat it like I had beaten everything else. I heard Will's voice in my ear.
Come on, Clark, one step at a time.
I didn't look down. I kept climbing until I had stepped over the low wall, and then I was on the roof. I had done it. I looked around. The old pots were filled with red and purple flowers. Two new pots were filled with blue flowers, and some tomato plants stood next to the wooden seat, their leaves moving in the wind. I remembered the way that Lily had said, David Austin Roses, to Mrs. Traynor. I remembered those strange bits of soil that I had seen in my hallway. Then I slowly dropped to the ground and put my face in my hands. I texted Lily to thank her.
It's so beautiful. Why didn't you tell me?
She didn't reply, and I wasn't really surprised. 2 days later, I came home exhausted from a long shift, to see a motorbike outside my building and a familiar uniform.
Louisa?
I took a deep breath and turned to him. He looked tired too.
Can we talk?
Sam said.
Okay, I said, but I don't really know why you're here.
I'm here because I've just finished an exhausting 16-hour shift and because I don't understand what's happened. I'm tired, Louisa, and I don't like playing games.
You don't like playing games?
The words came out with an angry laugh. He took a breath.
Okay, let me ask you one thing and then I'll go. Why won't you return my calls?
I looked at him with shock.
Because you're a complete bastard, okay?
I could feel my whole body getting hot.
Oh, you're so good, aren't you? Look at Sam, the good father. But really, you're so busy sleeping with every woman in London that you don't even notice that your son is depressed.
My son?
Yes, because at the moving on circle, we actually listen to Jake and he tells us how he feels. But he won't tell you because he's a teenager.
Jake's not my son, Sam said. I stared at him.
Jake's my sister's son. My sister who died. He's my nephew. I come to get him on Mondays because his dad works shifts. And he stays with me sometimes. But he doesn't live with me.
Oh my God, I said. And my hand went to my mouth. We stood there in the middle of the street. Everyone was staring at us. Then Sam nodded at the door behind me. Could we talk about this inside? He stayed that night, and the next three. Twice he was waiting for me when I returned from work, and as soon as he began to kiss me, the boring shifts at the Shamrock and Clover were forgotten. I wanted to stop this new relationship because I didn't want to get hurt again. But I couldn't. I sang at work and talked to the customers. I let myself be happy.
I told Jake that you thought I was his dad. I've not seen him laugh that much for months, Sam said one day during a quick lunch. Sam often talked about his job. The fat men who spent all their time in front of the TV, the depressed and lonely old people, the drunks, and the people who killed themselves. One evening, he lay in my little bath. The water had turned pink with blood from a patient's bullet wound.
Don't you ever get frightened? I asked him.
You can't do this job if you're frightened, he said. Then he began washing his hair.
I sat watching him, enjoying his wet, muscular shoulders.
Oh, I had a job interview, I said, for a thing in New York.
New York?
He lifted an eyebrow as he let the old water out and filled it again.
I won't get it, I said, after a few minutes.
That's sad. I've always wanted to visit New York.
He dropped slowly under the water so that only his mouth was above it.
But you'll get to keep the wig, yes? I began to laugh and then, just to surprise him, climbed into the bath in my clothes and kissed him.
Sam stood on the rooftop and stared around him at the flowers.
And you really didn't know that Lily had done this?
Not at all, I said, my voice heavy with guilt. He sat down on the seat and took my hand.
Okay, so we'll go to her mother's and talk to her.
Why do you always make everything better? I said, staring at him.
I just don't like seeing you sad.
I couldn't tell him that I wasn't sad when I was with him. I couldn't tell him that he made me so happy.
"Slow down," said a voice in my head. "Don't get too close."
As we drove to Tanya Horton Miller's, my phone rang. It was Mrs. Traynor, saying that she would like to meet with Lily again.
"I'd like to explain to her," she said. "For the last year, I've been on these depression pills, and they stopped me being myself. And I was so shocked to see you. But I've been sitting here thinking, Will had a daughter. I have a granddaughter. Sometimes I think that I dreamed it."
"Mrs. Traynor, she's not staying with me anymore," I replied. "But yes, of course, I'll ask her." Sam waited across the road as I knocked on the door. Tanya Horton Miller opened it, and the smile fell away from her mouth.
"Louisa," she said, "has something happened?"
"I've had a call from Mrs. Traynor, Will's mother," I said. "She'd like to see Lily, but Lily's not answering her phone. Could you ask her to call me?"
There was a short silence.
"Why would I ask her?"
I tried to stay polite.
"Because you're her mother?"
"Yes, I'm her mother, who she hasn't tried to contact in more than a week."
My stomach suddenly turned cold.
"What did you say?"
She shrugged.
"She hasn't contacted me."
"Mrs. Horton Miller, I thought that she was with you."
"What?"
"I thought that Lily had moved back in with you. She left my flat 10 days ago.